Welcome back to Gasbagging. I'm Dan Morrison, and I'm quite unwell today, but I have a lovely man who's joining me all the way from Vienna. You know him as Yolanda Parody, aka Chris. Chris, welcome back. Thank you for doing this.
Hi. Who would have thunk?
I know.
I'm like back that fast.
People demanded it, so.
Demand is insane.
I know you're not on Twitter anymore, but when I said you were, I said anyone who misses Yolanda Parody, you can listen. There was quite a few excited people. So,
I have to check up on that. I want to know who actually misses me.
Yeah, just sleuth.
But you know what? What's funny, a lot of people like approached me and were like, oh, it was so good to listen to that and like hearing from you again. And it was very nice. And even my coworkers listened to it.
That's a worry.
So weird to me because they don't know that side of me. Yeah. And my friends were like, are you like an influencer on Twitter? And I'm like, no, I'm not. It's so weird. So weird because people don't know that side of me in real life, I guess. But yeah, I didn't think about that because I was just being me all the time and a character on Twitter. So I didn't really talk about that.
Yeah, they didn't know you're a professional troll outside of work.
A professional troll, unpaid. I'd do that for free.
Yeah, unpaid. You're so good at it. Highly qualified.
So true.
I just want to get your thoughts just on Bethany Frankel. I don't think we discussed her last time you're on here, but she's got her rotating roster of Bravo talent coming through her podcast studios. Just where are you at with Beth?
Yeah, so I've been following her on TikTok and I watch her videos where she goes crazy and like rips out the inside of bagels and puts cream cheese on it. So that was an experience, but I've listened to her podcast with Rachel.
Me too.
And with the one with Jill Zarin. And now I saw that she did an interview with Nini. And Nini is talking about her closet again, as she always does. So I don't know what to think of it. I thought the Rachel interview didn't really give us that much. Neither did the Jill Zarin interview. It's always just like a big tease. And she's always lying. Like Bethany's always lying. Like she said, for example, on the Jill Zarin one, that they have not talked in 10 years, which is not true. They've seen each other at Bobby's funeral and she went to her apartment afterwards. And the whole thing with Rachel about her not getting paid enough by Bravo and her not paying her for the podcast, I don't know. So I don't know if I'm going to listen to the Nini one. I love Nini. So I might do that later that week. I want to know what's the tea on that because the podcast did not give me any new behind the scenes, like any tea or anything real. It's just Bethany talking about herself and like forcing her opinion on them.
Like I think with Nini, like you got everything from that Carlos King podcast as well. Like I feel like she just did the rounds recently and talked about everything. Like what's Bethany got to cover now?
It's just recycled content at this point and Bethany wants her share of it, I guess. So
she wants something. I don't know how long she can keep, as Heather McDonald calls it, cosplaying as like middle class with her running around the shopping centers and stuff. Like I don't think that's the future of her career, but it might be if she can't figure it out.
Oh God. Heather McDonald, also such a character. But she's right. She's right. Like cosplaying as somebody who cares, like cosplaying as an empath, that's what she's doing. She's pretending to care.
It's hard as well when she's like sitting across from people like Rachel and you know at the back of her like mind she doesn't give a shit about Rachel.
She doesn't even know the person. She didn't
know.
She has no idea who that is.
Exactly. I do wish Bethany well because she's giving me very unwell vibes at the moment. So I'm hoping there's a recovery at the end of it. I sat across yesterday with some friends having some drinks in Sydney Harbour and I was sitting directly across from episode one of Sydney location where the Cape may or may not have gone
beautiful.
The water. So it was lovely to look
beautiful
at like
location.
A historical site. Stunning. It was blocked by a huge cruise ship, but then that moved and then I could see, you know, the light on the other side. It was lovely to be amongst it. I felt connected to the girls being there.
Did you see the lovely fisherman who caught Athena's cape?
No, but I did see a morbidly obese man on an inflatable swan. So that was...
oh, my God.
What caught my eye?
Did you do the international sign for... what was it? SOS?
Yeah. International sign for emergency. Yeah.
For emergency. God.
Look, it's an educational show. I didn't know that before I watched Real Housewives of Sydney. So it's you know, it teaches you a lot. Thank you, Lisa.
I learned so much.
I usually thought it was just the one arm like wave in the water, but no, you've got to. I feel like you're more prone to drowning if you're going to try and do like the full like YMCA in the water. Like that doesn't seem helpful. But anyway,
I feel like she should have just tried to swim because she was really good at it when they went snorkeling. But it is what it is.
I'm sure she would have been fine with those flippers. Anyway.
Yeah.
Can I get your thoughts on the latest Salt Lake? You said you had some notes from.
I did watch it, and it was like I have some notes and I have something to say. I want to know how old Lisa Barlow really is, because she claims she has glam and stuff and like all this work done. And I always want to know, is Bath and Body? No, that's not the Beauty Lab, not Bath and Body Works. is Beauty Lab the only place where you can get work done? Because she looks so old. And I feel like she's not allowed to get it anywhere else. Or is she not? She has really bad skin. She looks really bad. She looks like she fell asleep in a tanning bed. That's what I wanted to know. because her style, it's not really, it's giving jeans and it's giving a top. It's all the same outfit all the time. So I did not know what the issue was. It felt very homophobic to me. Angie K is always bugging me.
Oh, Angie is something else. But I think I said this to you last time. Even though I can't stand Angie, I think she's very much
playing a good part for the show. Yeah, she's. Yeah. I think I said it as well. She's doing the puppet part, and she's getting the work done, the job done, and the work done as well. Like her confessional look with the like the lavender or whatever, like purpley dress she's wearing. Her face looks insane. It's crazy. Like there's so much.
The red one scares me. The red latex confessional. Oh, that one actually. I go whoo when I like see that one pop on the screen. That's a big one.
And she always looks very, like, I don't know. She always has the same expression. You don't know if she's happy or upset. It's insane. what I did write down is one of the most important parts of the episode is Mary sitting by herself in the car twice because she did not need to bond with the ladies, she said, because she's already doing bonding on a higher level with her higher help, referring to... God, I guess. And what I also wrote down, the second time she stayed in that bus, she's so funny, when she went to McDonald's by herself because she didn't like the food at the Trixie Motel, I guess. And her McDonald's order was very interesting to me because she ordered some like a fish mac, 6-piece nuggets and large fries. A weird combo, in my opinion. I don't like the fish.
Yeah, okay. I was going to ask the exact same thing. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, different fish over in Vienna compared to here, but I would not touch, like, a fillet of fish in Australia. Not an order I would ever go near.
Me neither. No, they got my order wrong once.
I can't imagine the States gets it right either.
They got it wrong once when I was ordering, like, a chicken burger, a chicken sandwich or something, and I got a fish mac, and I was like, well, I'll try it. How bad can it be? It can be really bad. It can be so bad. Huge mistake. So I don't know about that order.
No. Also, like, I support Mary not doing stuff with women, but I think this is the last time I need to see her doing, like, you know, her hijinks on the side from the women. Like, if she's not going to attend something, she's not on camera for me. Like, I don't think we need to see her, like, ordering a coffee from the producers and then, like, her going and doing, like, orders at McDonald's. Like, if you're not in the scene, you're not there. So, I do love her.
I love her too. I want her to interact with them. I want her to... You know, whatever it is, just tell them to don't talk to me like that, or say something to Whitney and be like, you're not a woman or something. I like that. That's what I'm here for. That's why I subscribe to the show.
Oh, I cannot wait. Chris, I cannot tell you how much I cannot wait for her to sit down with Whitney when she does the whole wake up, bobblehead. Like, that's just, I'm like waiting for that moment. That's just going to be, that's going to be my Christmas. Yes.
This season is so exciting for me. I don't know why. Oh, it's so good. I love Salt Lake City. It's always like, you know, the time before Christmas, around Christmas, it's like, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Always something going on. And I want to know, we got a really like small preview of the next episode. What is the rumor about NGK? I have no idea whatsoever. I did not research, so I'm excited to find that out. I hope it's about her husband being gay, because that's what I think.
I was going to say the only thing that's coming to mind is gay husband. So I just, yes. I think it's too easy of a lead with the whole hairdressing background as well. So I think that's my idea.
I love that. And you know what? I love a good gay husband storyline. Nothing's better. Like, we've had it on OC and other shows. It's always a gift.
I was listening to Bitch Sesh last week, and I think whoever their guest was on said the reason like Angie's bed is so big is just so that they can be like away from each other. So like on each side, just so they don't have to be anywhere near. So, which is true. That's the biggest fucking bed I've ever seen. So yeah.
It's huge. Good point. I like that Bitch Sesh is always hating on NGK as well. I like them. They're my friends.
Casey hates Angie K. Like, anytime she's like mentioned, she's just like, oh god, I hate Angie K.
That's why they ate my tweet up about Angie K and the fake rumors. I love them.
They're the best. Monica, like, I still enjoying Monica, but she's doing that thing that I don't care for with newbies where they throw their friend like that brought them onto the show under the bus, like immediately, like they go with this like pack mentality. And the problem is these newbies always end up with like no one around them once they start doing that, because then the other girls that they're siding with don't want anything to do with it, because they like they show that they can flip on a dime, and then they're just stuck with no one. So I hope she doesn't go too hard on like the Angie K hate train and the Lisa Barlow.
Yeah, I just need her to be like, she can go off, but at the same time, it was too soon for me. Like, usually they like play along, like Tinsley, you know, for a few episodes, or I always go back to Tinsley. I think about her a lot. But you know, they play along, but then they flip. Yeah, like they flip on the person that got them on the show, like after 5 or 10 episodes, maybe, but not that quickly. It was a little too fast.
Be grateful.
I like her a lot. Yeah, be grateful. But I like her a lot. Like, she has star potential. What I did not get, though, is the whole Jen and assistant part. I feel like I missed an episode, or I missed an like some kind of Reddit thread, because there's so much lore behind the scenes about Monica and her being an assistant and working with Jen, but also being responsible for some stuff that happened to Jen. I have no idea. I have to read up on that, or I'll just DM her and ask her.
Yeah. Yeah. Just DM her. I'm sure she'll respond.
Monica, what's going on?
But like, Jen had 90 assistants when the show started. So like, it's not shocking to me that Monica was somehow like involved with her.
You know,
I feel like half of Salt Lake City was working for Jen.
It takes a village. It seemed like it took a village to run that scheme.
Any other thoughts on Salt Lake?
I'm enjoying it. I'm here for the ride.
Me too.
But that's it.
More Mary.
More Mary. Yeah. Yes, more Mary. More fights with Mary.
And just quickly on Roni. I know you probably haven't watched this week's episode, but I'm just I'm literally only here for Jessel now. Like, I think I'm pretty much off all the other women on the cast at this point. I feel like Jessel's the only one that I kind of like enjoy seeing in a scene, and how she's like talking to the ladies. The rest of them, I just don't. I don't know really what's going on anymore.
See, I trust you with that opinion, because another close friend of mine, Leo, is also a huge fan of Jessel, and I've seen her like the first few episodes I've watched, and I thought she had like great confessional looks, and she has like great humor, and she has great star quality and potential, and there's a reason she's on the show. I guess for the other ladies, like I told you, I'm here for like a new Roni, but I still miss the old ladies. I feel like they're too young.
I know. I feel like you could take maybe two of these women and throw them in with the old girls, and just like bring back
just take like
old Roni in a way.
Yeah, they could have done what they always do: keep Luann, Sonia, and Ramona, and then just like bring on four new girls, like they did with Melbourne. That worked well as well for the show sometimes. Sometimes. Not taking credit for
that. I would say, season 5 is up in the air, I think, in that sense. But I'll take your word.
No, I was going to say, thinking about Melbourne, what's Simone doing? Simone, like, is that her name? Simone Elliott?
I follow her
on LinkedIn.
Stunting, looking pretty. She's just running around on LinkedIn. Has she got many business updates?
Yes, she always has some kind of updates, inspirational quotes and stuff. But I remember her like also being a fan of your podcast and your like Instagram. Like on that one live that we were on, and she was at the wedding with Patty Fleur and Gamble. And you can see Gamble in the background.
Oh, yes, I recorded. Yes, and she's...
Yeah. Gas bagging.
She screamed, she's like, gas bagging. And then I could hear her kids going, gas bagging. I had no idea what she was on about. She's hilarious. She was like, during the season, she like kind of just like responded to memes and stuff, or would like DM me. And it was just like, she'd probably give me a little bit too much about what was going on with her mental state when she was on the show. Like I was literally like making a joke, I think, about when she was talking literally about her divorce. Like it was a joke, and she was like, oh yeah, this was like a real, you know, really tough for me to chat about, like I was falling apart during this. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I'm just like literally taking the piss out of what she's saying.
That's crazy. I feel bad for her. I really liked her. I miss the Melbourne girls as well.
I would love to see a live convo between Simone and Lydia Scavello. I feel like, you know, they could solve the world's issues just if they are those two.
The moment. Lydia was hanging out with Gina again. I feel like what I like about following Lydia, and like we know nothing about what's going on in Gina's life except for a podcast, I think. But I really like following Lydia because... Yep. We always know what she's doing. And I like that she's really friends with Gina still. And that Gina looks like what she looked like on the show in real life.
Oh, she will never change.
Because she's always dressed like that. I always thought that was just for the show. Ageless.
Yes. Ageless by Ramona. No, I love... so I think Lydia and Gina, they're doing... because she has her like Lydia's Kitchen, where she, you know, invites gays over and they pay exorbitant amounts of money for her to cook for them, which is my dream still. So I'm gonna head down to Melbourne at some point for that. But
you should.
She's doing Christmas with Lydia and Gina. So
Dad, you should go.
I know. I'll report live, live correspondent for Gasbagging down there with Lids. So I'll
get her on the podcast. Get her on here.
Yes. I'd love to hear her thoughts. I'll ask her.
I want to be there.
Two rights, make a right. All right. We'll take a break and come back with Real Housewives of Sydney. And we're back with Real Housewives of Sydney. Singapore Galleys. We're back.
Yes. What an episode. I know you've already talked about it in the last episode, but the whole... like backstory, I did not know any of it for the first when I watched it the first time. I only found out about it by accident when I was like looking for Victoria Reese content on Twitter, and then I saw the clip of her calling like the producer a stupid little poofta, and I don't know. I wish they had that on camera. I want more. I want everything. I want a whole backstory. I want a documentary about the whole trip. What happened when, and who said what to the producer, and why was she so, like, something must have happened behind the scenes with the guy that pissed her off so badly.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's odd because, like, Athena and Lisa, I think I said this last week, but, like, they were kind of painted as, like, the villains on the show this entire time.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, light and shade with anyone else, where I think... I don't know if it was just like a creative decision to be like, oh, we've got to keep Victoria as like, you know, the one that you want to be on her side. It's something as well, like I wish they brought up at the reunion, like even if they didn't actually use it like in the show, it could have been something like that they could have discussed and been like, oh, remember when you did this, like when you walked off camera or whatever. So it is strange that maybe they were just trying to keep like a certain image of Victoria. But that's the thing, no one knew at the time when the show came out, and it was literally 2 years later. It was a radio station here, Kyle and Jackie O, they released the footage.
Wow.
On like, as part of like a segment, and that was like, you know, the big moment. But it was like 2 years later, so it didn't even matter because like the show wasn't coming back. So it was just like, okay, what does this accomplish now? Like it should have been back then.
Yeah. Do we know who leaked the footage? Like, who was it, the producer or one of the producers?
Maybe it was the stupid little poofter. Who can say? I don't know. I don't know
Oh, he
who that
was
is. You
still
can't
mad.
see who he is on the screen. But yeah, maybe he just wanted to like try and bring her down. Yep.
Yeah, vengeful little gay man.
Yes. Aren't they all?
Aren't we all?
Yes, but I do agree with you. It should have been part of it.
Should have been talked about more.
I know. But look, here we are still talking about it in 2023, so maybe it did have a lasting impact after all.
It
So
did, definitely for me.
Athena's earrings that she's wearing in a pool, insane.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I was gonna say the whole pool scene. I'm like, when did they get up as well? Because and when did the pool open? Because they're acting like it's 5 a.m. in the morning and nobody was able to sleep. And the whole pool thing and her and Chrissy being friends all of a sudden, and the earrings, her being like baptized. I
Yep.
don't know. I don't know how I felt. It felt very. I don't know if the producer said, "Hey, you were gonna film a scene with Nicole and Chrissy at the pool the next morning. This is the call time. Be there." And then they just made the most of it, but it felt so
Yeah, and just said,
not.
you've got to, and can you please make up? Like, as in,
Yeah.
can someone please be on Athena's side?
Yeah. It felt. It did not feel organic. But I feel like Athena did not have any friends at that point, and Lisa was not there yet, I guess. She has not arrived yet, so.
Yeah, well, she's down with food poisoning. As she said, she had a scallop on the plane, and
Oh.
she's been knocked out. So poor thing.
Oh, God.
Really took it down.
What I am here for is the whole scene in the store with Lisa, Maddie, and Melissa. I always forget her name. The whole reason why we are in Singapore is because of Melissa. If you think about
And
it,
you wouldn't know.
you would not know. You would not know.
No. She went for a photo shoot for a book I don't think ever got released.
Oh, I feel so bad for her, but she's a star. But yeah, anyways, the topic of conversation was, of course, as always, Chrissy Marsh. She's a skank. She's a whore. It
Yeah,
like the
I don't
whole
think she's a
they.
bad person. I think she's a slut.
Yeah, and she's like, "No, don't say that. No, she's skank."
Yeah,
It's
mole.
like,
Skank.
"Mo, so good." I like. It's so fascinating to me that she like the whole episode as well. I mean, we get like the reason why she's so obsessed with Chrissy, and why she's always talking shit about her. It's because allegedly Athena fed her poison or stories, but still, it's so. It's so I don't get I never got that vibe of Chrissy that she's like flirting with everyone or that she would like talk about sucking dick and cock all the time.
No, I think she's just like, no, unless it didn't make the cut, but she just seems like literally just one of those people that anytime she meets like a waiter, she's like overly nice and will be like, oh, hey, and just like, and just like that little flirt, like even to a lesser extent than say what like Brynn's doing on Real Housewives of New York, who just like her
Yeah,
whole like MO is like
exactly.
flirt. I think Chrissy literally only just like Chrissy just does a little flirt when she meets people, then she literally goes back to the conversation like the whole time she's not sitting there talking about, getting railed or something like that. Like she's just, little ooh, little wink to the waiter essentially.
Maybe we will see that on the new season. Like, I'm excited to see her again at this point because I appreciate her more rewatching the show now because she plays a huge part and like a huge role in it. So I'm excited to see her on the. But I will look at her with a different point of view. I mean, it's not
Different
my point of view
lens.
is not the only one, but it's clearly the best. I
Clearly
always
the
forget.
best.
It's can I say like just like on a side note that this like the Real Housewives of Sydney, the whole cast has insanely good taglines. Like all of them, they're all perfect. It's so good. I like
They're
all of
great.
them.
Oh, yeah. It's a strong. And Melissa's kills me. Like, the hardest role I've ever played is just being me. Like,
Yes.
true queen.
Yeah, it must be hard to play that
I love when they get to the lunch and Victoria's just like looking over at Athena and just. The hate she has in her eye just for what she's wearing. She goes, and she's got that stupid hat on today. Everything she does annoys me.
I feel her so much. And at some point, I mean, Elfida, as much as I love her, but she was not always right the whole season. And she was mean as fuck to Victoria. And I don't get how Victoria is always apologizing to her. Like, she clearly tried to make this work at some point. Even though if it's fake, she's always apologizing to Athena. And I feel like she did not need to apologize for calling her a housewife.
I think the only reason she wanted to apologize is literally because... Yeah, I think, well, as she said, she goes, I apologize for some things I said and not others. So I think she's just more saying, like, sorry for throwing a napkin in your face. Like, I think that's probably the extent of where she's getting
yeah.
at. But outside of that, she thinks okay. everything she said is justified. So they bring up the picture that the girls posted while Lizzie Buttress was terrorizing everyone at the Wrinkle Schminkles
yes.
event.
It used to be my background on my phone. Like, that picture, it has such an impact.
It really is. It's yeah. a stunning piece of art, really. It's one to hang on the wall. But I love when she was like, oh, you didn't think I was calling you hoes. And she then Lisa just, like, goes across the table at
oh my
Victoria
God.
And goes, no one would pay you to have sex. And then she points at Chris and goes, and why would anyone pay her when she gives it away for free?
And no, it was so good. And it just, like, rolled off her tongue. She must have prepared that. Like, she must have known I would talk about this picture at some point. And this was the response she prepared. Because I cannot believe she had that, like that. It went so quickly. Like, we did not see that coming.
Oh, Lisa's had, like, a writer's room for this entire season. Like, you can see when she's in her confessionals as well. Like, everything yeah. is, like, scripted to a point of, like, it's insane.
It's perfection.
I do appreciate some of them. Other times I feel a bit like forced, I would say.
Yeah,
or contrived, that, as she says.
That's
later.
True. Like, the whole thing with the snake, like, I think I said that before, like, the snake, I don't really buy it, that whole stuff, or that being like that grungy yeah. goth lady. I think that's because it's a great character you can sell on a show. But yeah, the other times.
Exactly.
But yeah,
well, she says it. It's the first episode when she goes, no one's ever seen a real housewife like Lisa Oldfield. Like, she was very aware she was, like,
yeah,
creating a character for the show. Like, that was, like, her intent from, like, the beginning.
It was planned. And it was a very, like, she carried out the plan perfectly.
She did.
But on that note, the reaction of the other ladies, it's, like, not that big. It's just like they're getting so used to being bullied by each other because they did not give her that much of a reaction. They were like, oh, no, don't say that. And it's like they don't even pay attention to that comment anymore. It's just like, well, it's just another thing Lisa Oldfield said.
Oh, God. And I love that. Well, Maddie's yeah. even getting tired of it as well because, like, Maddie, yeah. like, screams. It's like she's always just like, oh, you could have dropped the slut thing.
Yeah, you could have dropped that. No, because the whole ping pong part starts going with who said what to who about Chrissy being a slut and not or what who talking who about who's back, and then the fake apology, also, like, a great moment. Fingers crossed behind my back, you're fucking slut. So good. Just like,
she hates, it doesn't matter if Athena said anything to her about Chrissy, she's just decided, I fucking hate this woman and
yeah.
she's going to get nothing from me. So, but I do love her, like, really, like, rehearse, like, walking up to Chrissy going, Chrissy, I've made a big mistake. And then before she goes in for the hug, like, she just really, she's, like, acting her life. I do love when Athena says to her, oh, if you have a sick mind, it's my problem. And then Lisa goes, oh, you're a fucking bitch. Like, she turns it, like, she just turns on Athena in a second. It's insane. And then the whole, like, fuck off and don't touch me, like, right at the end before they're going.
She was furious. Like, she was popping off. And I do not like to see those two fighting because I feel like they were, like, the perfect duo, but it was necessary. I don't know if they maybe even planned that because they turned on each other so quickly. It makes me think if they made that whole thing up. Like, they planned that to just get a rise out of the women and, like, keep the storyline pushing and say, well, we got along so well, we have to fight at some point of the season and let's do it in Singapore.
No, yeah, and they didn't need to as well. Like, it's just like, it feels like everyone was just like, they were just trying to turn on like every single person there. Like, you know, have a row with everyone, including like someone who's meant to be your friend. It was insane. I did love when they were leaving though, and you had Chrissy going, "All right, ladies, we'll see you tomorrow." And then you just hear Victoria in the background going, "No, I want dessert."
I'm gonna miss Victoria on the new season. I feel like she was, even though she's annoying sometimes and she's not a great person, I don't give a fuck. She was great TV. She was made for that show.
She is. I just love her. She's just got that Australian like drawl in her voice. Like everything's just like a bit of like a slight whine to the voice. Yes. So I do. I'm gonna miss that delivery from her as well. What I'm not going to miss is the next scene where she meets her sister and she's wearing that the denim skirt and grey t-shirt.
Oh my God. The best outfit a Real Housewife has ever worn. And I think I think I've tweeted about this outfit so many times, and I have like 4 different angles of it like in my camera roll, because it's so good. It's that grey t-shirt, the skirt that like the denim skirt, it's huge, and her without any makeup on, like just a little bit of she has her lashes on, I think, and then you expect someone to walk in that looks like her, and it's just like I feel like that's what I thought about when I watched it yesterday. I don't think that really was her sister. Do you think she made that whole storyline up?
So we've got a few conspiracies this season. So we've got the cape didn't go in the water, and Lucy is not really Victoria's sister.
You see, 2 gays, 1 fart.
Love that. Them bonding over the skinny bitches.
Them bonding over the skinny bitches, and they have nothing in common. Like, they don't... But if you are related just to, like, at some extent, like one half, you should have some features that resemble each other. And I don't think they still talk. I don't, somebody should look into it.
No, I can't imagine they're going to Singapore and meeting up to have a skinny bitch. Like, I don't think that's relationships thriving, but we'll see.
They've never seen each other again. She hired that lady.
I'll have to look her up. She might be on a casting site somewhere, so we'll have to... might do like a reverse like Google image search and see what pops up, like very like catfish style.
Look at you. You're so smart. I should have done that.
No. I've just learned from catfish, that's all. I love when they're heading off to the drinks that night, and as they're walking to the bar, to the rooftop, you hear Maddie go, "Oh, apparently it's fully booked." Jeez.
Oh God. I love Maddie. She is like, everything she says is so funny. She's like, to me, maybe it's the accent. I shouldn't talk because of an accent as well. Mm. But it's like Maya from Selling Sunset to me. Like everything she says is so light and funny at some point, even when she's mad.
So when the girls are on the rooftop, you can see that Lisa is just dying inside, seeing Chrissy and Athena pretend they have a new friendship, and she's like boiling underneath the poor thing.
It's also so unnatural, and Athena is like playing a character or some, like she's acting like, "Oh, Chrissy, I always said you're such a good person, and Chrissy, you're this," and blah blah blah. And then like in my head, I have a flashback to episode 1 when she yells at her and she's like, "Out of it right now, Chrissy, I've had enough of you all day long." And that's like, that's the first time she's met her.
Like, you
she's
hated never this said, woman.
You've hated her from since day one. And it wasn't even day, it was night one. So I don't, it feels so, the whole episode is a little weird because you can see that all of the women at some point, I feel like they've had enough of each other. They're not friends. And then even Lisa pops at Athena. And you know what's so funny is that Athena is clearly, like, her emotions are all over the place as well, because when she tries to flip the table and fails because she realizes this glass table might be a little bit too heavy.
She just like literally lifts it like a centimeter off the ground and like slams it down again.
It's good TV. I'm not complaining. And Maddie, of course, she has to diffuse the whole situation as always. She's in the middle of it, and Melissa.
Yeah.
Melissa is catching strays. And she's like, "If I don't," and then it's like, that should have been her tagline. "If I don't have anything to say, why should I talk?" It's like, if I don't have to contribute anything to this situation. I'm like, yeah, That's the whole point of you.
And you didn't talk. She didn't talk for half the season.
Yeah. that should have been her tagline.
I loved Victoria giving Lucy the lowdown on the women before she was like getting in there. She gets like, they're all a bit crazy. They all scream and yell. The tall dark one's a lunatic. The tall blonde one's a lunatic.
Your impression of Victoria is perfect. It's spot on. Oh,
yeah.
Victoria's
like, that's the only one I can, she's the only one I can slip into. Like Maddie's, I think my Maddie impression's borderline offensive half the time. And then the rest I just can't. Nail whatsoever. So
it's spot on.
I loved Athena when she sees Lucy enter. She goes, it must be unfortunate to find out that Victoria's your sister.
So yeah, it's so good. And it's like, I like, God, the Australian shows are so much better than, can I say that? I think I didn't say that last time, because the US franchisee, whatever, the American shows, they're not as offensive, or they don't have that kind of humor in them. But like, even Melbourne and like Sydney is a little bit extreme, but it just comes naturally, like cussing and hating each other and like putting each other down. It's so much more entertaining to me.
Yeah, and it's just like, it just slips out a bit. It's part of the dialogue, where I feel like if someone swears on the American one, they all kind of like gasp a bit and just kind of stay there, where it's kind of like everything just keeps moving on the Australian ones.
Like, remember that dinner in season 7 of Roni? And it's like, oh, the whole dinner at that, like Dorinda, what dinner was it? It was Dorinda, Heather, Kristen. Where were they? They were on vacation. So Turks and Caicos. They were on vacation. They had the dinner. They were talking about dropping the F-bomb. And it's like, well, your daughter says fuck all the time, Dorinda. And then it just like, it like snowballs. It's insane.
Escalates. Yeah.
And it's just like, saying fuck should not escalate a dinner like that. But oh well. Americans, I guess. Can't relate.
Yeah. Well, you literally have Lisa screaming across, will you shut the fuck up? And then she also says you're a grade A1 cunt from Central Casting. So then that's what we're left with.
Gotta love her.
And just quick, we don't need to spend too much time on it, but just the following day, the girls do the bird poo facial and Victoria and Melissa get lost in the fish market. I did enjoy, though, Athena when she was at the spa place, and she was like, oh, I was a geisha in another lifetime. I'm like, okay.
I don't get how she comes up with that, or how, where she gets those vibes from, or the energy. And that's why she's so fascinating to me. But yeah, that the next day was not that, not much happened. But I feel like because all of the dinners and lunches are so full of energy, it's when there's just two or three of them, what can happen? And then Victoria is like sitting there with her sister at the pool or somewhere. And she's like, well, I'm supposed to go to dinner tonight, but I've got a cold. And she's sitting there unfazed, like her voice just normal, like no stuffed nose or anything. She's just like, I've got a cold. And then her sister says, well, and she asks her sister what she has planned. And she's like, well, I'm going to go to dinner, maybe a bar. And she's like, well, I'll come.
Yeah.
Victoria.
Which is the complete opposite of what you were just saying. Like, I'm going to stay in. And they're like, no, I'll go out with you. Fuck these women.
I'll go. That should also not be an option. It should not be an option. I feel like that should never be an option to opt out. Same for Mary on SLC. I feel like if you're there already, you have to commit or not get a paycheck.
For sure. It's like the same as like not showing up to a reunion. You should be like,
yes.
Yeah, not paid.
Yes. At LVP, looking at you, girl.
we get to the dinner and we're treated to Nicole tying a knot with her tongue of a cherry. So well done.
Fascinating.
I feel like she's been silent this entire trip. Like, I haven't heard a word out of D. Nicole.
No, it's just like, but when she talks, it's like on that kind of level and that kind of note. I don't really like, I don't like her voice. So I'm not excited to see her back on the next season, because it's always in that kind of, I don't know, like she's always complaining or like very loud as well.
Yeah. She likes to correct and she likes to give people her knowledge, which is vast.
On etiquette.
I love when they're talking about, yes, on etiquette, yes. Very Susie McLean. The when they're chatting about their past dalliances, and Chrissy's talking about how she'd go back to this Andreas man or whatever that she's left in Italy, and you hear Lisa go, oh, Chrissy's vagina is the United Nations of vaginas.
Yes. That is the first time, actually, we hear Chrissy talk about a man she has slept with. And it really is the first time, because she does not talk about having sex with her husband or anyone else. This is the first time she... And maybe that set Lisa off, but the comment, spot on as well, as always, Lisa Oldfield. I always thought about myself as someone who is obsessed with something, and then, like, the emotions snowball, and I get, like, with Angie K, for example. But Lisa, really, she's obsessed with Chrissy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just like she's looking for like any opportunity. Like, you can even see when they're just sitting around there and like Chrissy's speaking, Lisa's just like looking at her with absolute like disgust. Like, she does not care if this woman lives or dies.
She actually hopes she dies. hoping for her to fall off the chair.
And then they're sitting at that dinner discussing Victoria's absence, and they're I love like Lisa trying to jump to an intervention like immediately, with it not even really being brought up by anyone. And she's like, "You're saying an intervention." Then Chrissy's like, "Well, no."
Yes.
And then this becomes like an absolute like storyline for them the next episode, even though no one has said it except Lisa.
They actually are going to have an intervention with her at that concert later on, I think next episode. But yeah, it was the whole topic of
a concert.
And it's also interesting to me that Chrissy is so upset with her not being there. I didn't get how she's... Why is Chrissy offended all of a sudden?
It seems to be snowballing from her missing the walk.
Oh, right. We had that walk. Yeah.
Yes, that she didn't show up to because she was hungover from the polo. So she's hung on to that. And now her not showing up to this, I feel like she's using that.
Do you think Victoria has a problem with alcohol? Like, I'm not calling her an alcoholic, but do you think there's... Or are there other substances? Do you think her behavior is induced?
I think probably you could tell the day of the polo she was wasted. Like, even when she was on camera, she was like, you could tell she was fully tipsy when she like entered the scene. But I feel like every other dinner she hasn't been too bad in any state. But yeah, she might have a problem with alcohol, but I feel like a lot of people do. So that's
it. Me too. I mean, I do.
Not to extent we've seen on some other shows as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just wondering because
yes, you're in your Zen Wen era at the moment.
Yeah. But I'm like, I feel like there's many people that have those issues and then they don't show up anymore because they are so hungover. But for example, you were hungover today and you showed up. So leading by example.
I know, I was close to canceling, but I've rallied. So what does Janet call it? Match fit. So that's also a worrying trait to have. Again, we get into it with Lisa and Athena. So I think they're just like, we're just going to keep fighting till the end of this trip. And we get Lisa screaming, fucking broccoli, to get Athena to shut up, which apparently is something all the women are using now to get Athena to stop speaking.
And it does not work. Like, she did not sign up for that. She did not, never. I feel like she thought it was a joke, but they were very serious about that. Because they really needed some kind of code or a signal for her to shut up.
And I love as soon as like Lisa just screamed at her like fucking broccoli, and then Athena just immediately like just turns to Melissa and goes, oh, she needs anger management. And she just like keeps speaking even though Lisa's just trying to get her to shut up, and she will not stop. And then you just get the full barrage from Lisa. She's like, you talk fucking too much, you talk shit, you're a fucking liar, I fucking hate you, and an evil fucking succubus. Like, it's just...
A succubus, I feel, that's
again,
what she called her.
I feel like she's just, like, got this... Yes, and, like, she's just got all these, like, lines ready to go. It's insane.
Yeah, and it's so crazy because, like I said before, how did we get from queens don't compete with hoes to you're a fucking liar, I fucking hate you, and you're a fucking succubus? I don't get how we got from that.
Yeah,
it's... like how it escalated so quickly.
And also as well, but then seconds later, they're making up as well. Like,
yes, that's why I feel like they planned this. Watching it for the third or fourth time in my life, maybe I'll DM Lisa. Maybe she'll reply. I'll ask her.
Yeah, please. Yeah, ask her. And then we get Chrissy starting to cry, which sets Melissa off as well. Just you know, like a wave of tears. But I think Chrissy's finally, she's hit a point, I think this is actually true, where she's just like, yep, I'll continue to hang out with you, Lisa, like in this setting, but she's like, I don't trust you as far as I can throw you, which is fair.
Yep. And they choose to that. And that's how it ends, I think, right?
Yes. Yes, we hear Lisa go ding dong, the witch is dead, every time I hear about her fanny.
Yeah.
That's what.
Her fanny. She has so many names for her as well, or her, you know, genitalia. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's like she sat there with a thesaurus in her writer's room and just like said, oh, what can we change it to for this one?
What a queen.
Any other thoughts on that episode of Sid, or where you're at the end?
I think it was a great episode. I really, I remember watching it for the first time and I thought it was crazy because I watched all, 10 or 11 episodes in one day and I just couldn't get enough. But at this point, rewatching it for, the third or fourth time, I feel like I kind of get why the show was canceled, because it was a little bit too extreme and you could not follow the storylines anymore. Yeah. And who was fighting with who. Like, I got confused as well. Every time I get confused why all of a sudden Athena is to blame for Lisa disliking Chrissy. At the same time, Chrissy and Athena being friends all of a sudden, it's too fast. So I feel like they could have laid that out within two seasons maybe and be like, okay, this is how it progresses. Yeah. But it goes too fast and it gets really volatile. Which I'm here for, not complaining.
Yeah, everyone's just like chopping and changing. Like, it's hard to get like a narrative going when you've got like, you know, Chrissy's mad at Victoria in this episode. You've got Athena and Chrissy being friends. You've got Lisa and Athena hating each other. And then it all kind of comes back around to where it started again. Like, everyone's kind of like fine and set back how they were before they went to Singapore by the end of it. Like, it is, I think to your point, you can kind of see the wheels are like falling off at this point where it's kind of just like, everyone's just attacking for the sake of it, or just, you know, buddying up just to, you know, create like something different rather than just being like, oh, let's just enjoy ourselves, go out for dinner, get to know each other. It's kind of like, no, we're here to do this. And then that happens. And then the next thing. So
yeah, I feel like, what Athena said is, when you're with the animals, you become an animal. I feel like they were all animals from the get-go. And what I'm also thinking about all the time is, it must have been so hard to be a producer on that show, because you, every time you have to tell them, well, we still have a few more weeks to shoot and a few more episodes to go, so you guys have to get along at some point. So don't you think you should apologize? And that has to happen like not once a day, it has to happen multiple times a day, because so many fights happen within one day. And you're like, well, can't you make up again?
Yeah, how can you like address it all when there's like a million things that have happened? So
yeah, must have been crazy to be a producer on that show.
Well, as you saw from the footage that came out, yes, they're getting the cameras were getting attacked and you were getting called a poofter. So it would have been a fun time.
He probably had it coming.
He had it coming. Yes. All right. We'll take a break and come back with recommendations. And we're back with some recommendations now, Chris. I feel like you have a Halloween themed recommendation.
Yes, I do. I do not really have a specific show I recommend watching, but I do recommend rewatching the best Halloween themed Real Housewives episodes. For example, the one of Atlanta with Nene and Greg showing up, like him showing up in the Roach costume. That's gold and so entertaining. Mm-hmm. Or Dorinda's Halloween mansion themed episodes. Also, I recommend maybe following Dorinda on Instagram. There's always something going on in her stories. I recommend
if you want something haunted for October, follow Dorinda's Instagram.
Something's going on there as well.
No, that's good. I feel like I feel like all those Bravo accounts around this time of year always like list out all the what do you call it, Halloween episodes, so that can be
they always do for Christmas, Thanksgiving and Halloween. I feel like mm-hmm. like they always got the best holiday mm-hmm. episodes.
I love the New York one with even though I know no one's a big fan of the Leah McSweeney seasons, but the Halloween one where it was like Jill's kind of like trying to do her re-entry into the show, and then Dorinda's just not giving her any time of day, and she's screaming at Ramona going, what about when a friend asks you, are you drunk?
Are you drunk?
Strong episode.
I was just thinking about that episode because one of my, in my reaction meme library, I have that one clip of Ramona of that exact episode when like Dorinda flips out and then Ramona turns to her friend and she's like, she flips and it's very scary. It's so good.
Yeah, because Ramona just, didn't she have like other plans or something, and she just like was like dipping in and then was like heading out?
She was supposed to go to that other party she went to the previous season, and I don't, it's like a common name in New York, you would know what kind of party it is, but I don't, like, it's not on the top of my mind right now, would have to Google it. But she's always invited to that party, and I think she leaves, she dips and she goes to that party.
She does,
as she does. Yeah, Ramona, gotta love her.
And poor Jill, that was her waiting for her moment, and just like no one was giving her any time.
Have you listened to Ramona's podcast and Avery? Like, I'm not sure if I should try listening to that one.
Oh, Chris, I don't know if I can do it. I've seen like bits and pieces of it like floating around online. It just looks incredibly painful. I do not like Avery.
Nobody does. She even got laid off from her job at Cameo. She got laid off.
Oh, Cameo. Yes, that was it. She's she is not a favorite of mine. Actually, the New York kids really annoy me. Like Hannah, Dorinda's child.
Hannah.
No, she annoys the shit out of me.
All the kids. Even Bryn. We have never seen her on the show, but even she annoys me.
No, not
but me. Luann's kids are so weird. Like the girl looks like she never showered. I like Sonia's daughter. She's gorgeous. Yeah. Quincy, she is gorgeous. I'm obsessed with her, actually. I follow her. And she always does like weekly OOTDs. Stunning.
Stunning girl. She Beautiful should have. Girl. She Stunning. Should be on the show, if anyone.
She should.
Chris, thank you again for doing this. Where can people find you?
Well, I still have not reactivated my Twitter account, but I will at some point. It's at Yolanda, at Yolanda Parody. You can still follow my private Instagram. There's always going on, something going on, at chrizzledizzle.official.
Mm.
And I might have something coming next year, but I don't know yet. So stay tuned.
That's exciting. Stay tuned. I'll have to get you back onto it, announce whatever it is. We love a secret project. So
we do love it. We love a tease.
If you want to follow me, I'm at Danton Morrison on Twitter or at Gasbagging on Instagram and TikTok. Chris, thank you again for doing this. And just very quickly, I know this question stumped you last time, but do you feel like you're getting renewed or cancelled this week?
You know, it's my birthday today, so I feel like I'm getting renewed.
Today? Happy birthday.
Thank you. I kind of forgot about that. It came to me while we were recording this. I forgot. It came to me while we were recording. I'm like, so I feel more like getting renewed.
That's amazing. Are you anything special happening today or no? Because you literally had no idea it was your birthday.
First of all, I had no idea. I have work. I have so much work to do. That's why we did this before I start working.
I'm so sorry. Well, I'll have to let you actually get to work then. I'm so sorry to keep you from your busy schedule on your birthday.
No, I'm glad. It was so much fun again.
No, thank you so much for doing this.
I'll be back anytime, as I promised.
Well, we've got the new season starting soon, so that's quite exciting. So hopefully it's a good show. Hopefully that's a gift from the Real Housewives gods to you for your birthday, a good season of an Australian Housewives.
It starts in 8 days, right? It starts October 10th.
Yes. Okay, good. That's why I've got to bash out so many of these episodes before before the new season starts.
You're a hustler.
Me. But thank you for going on the journey with these insane women once again. Thank you, Chris, and farewell.
Bye.